Lucas, you want to hear a joke?
Yeah, man.
Why did the bicycle fall over?
Because, something with the tires, maybe? I don't know.
Because it was too tired.
Too tired. I knew it was tired something.
Because you looked at it.
I did not. I promise. I'm trying to get him without looking at him.
You're listening to the Faster Freedom Show, hosted by us, Sam Prim
and Lucas Walls.
Hello and welcome to the Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam.
And I'm Lucas.
And Lucas, guess what we have today?
Who knows, right? I'm not looking at it.
A banger.
Oh, as usual, though.
We got a banger today. Today, we are going to do a little bit more real estate focused of an episode. We do bigger picture topics. We do cultural things. We do a lot of different things here on this. But today, we are talking real estate. We're going to give our real estate predictions for the 2024 real estate market. I'm not even going to disclaim it. I don't even need to disclaim that nobody knows the future. I'm not going to do it. So we're going to give our predictions for that. We're going to talk a little NBA because the NBA season is, when depends on when this comes out, it's going to be like right before, right after this comes out. True, false, and then some story time. What you say about that, Walls?
I think that sounds like a banger. Now that you kind of outlined it for us, you're right. It's going to be a banger.
What do you think about the back of this? This is a first-timer, right? We got a two-pager.
Yeah, we got some great charts that'll help aid our discussion in the real estate market.
It will. It will for sure. So let's get the ball rolling. And eventually, one of these times, Walls, we're going to be in the new studio or the new backdrop studio.
Yeah. Ballpark time frame.
Ballpark time frame. Supposed to be this week. It was supposed to be, right? This week or next week? Yeah.
Oh, that's super fast.
I mean, it was supposed to be here like a week ago, but yeah.
A little delayed. I'll just come down here one time and it'll be here.
No, you come down here and it'll be shit everywhere because we got to put it all together.
Mm, that's all right.
And then we got to build a wall to put it on.
Let's build a wall.
How long
is it?
We talked about last episode. The Great Wall is longer than San Francisco to New York.
Yep.
Or LA, New York, one of the two, I don't remember.
Yeah, West Coast to East Coast.
What about, you think it's longer than like Hawaii to New York?
That's probably almost double?
Probably more than double.
Yeah. I don't know. How did we figure out how long it was? Because that's probably like 6,000 miles.
Yeah, we should have looked how long it was.
How long is the Great Wall to York?
Look that up. Because I was thinking the flight from like, I think California to Hawaii is like 6 hours or something. Yeah. I don't think it's 6 hours from LA to New York.
Yeah.
Is it? It is?
Right? Because like from here to...
Yeah, maybe.
San Diego's like what, 3.5?
So maybe,
it is longer. What about New York? So it's the Great Wall is 13,000 miles long.
Holy shit!
So from Hawaii to New York is about 5,000 miles. So, it's three.
What?
Yeah, it's almost three times as long. How is that possible?
How did they do
it? Must curve a lot. Because otherwise, that'd be like...
Around the world?
Yeah, halfway around the world.
China's big, but it must curve a lot. Wow, that is insane.
That's similar to like the stat about like the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah, the shoreline.
Yeah, the shoreline is longer
than... That's crazier, than though, Florida.
The Florida coastline. That
but that is like... You know what that makes me think? It looks like the Ming Dynasty, they were freaking psychopaths to do that. What? How psychotic are you to do that?
Yeah, I wonder what that wonder what that looked like. You know?
Yeah, probably not good.
It's probably where like labor laws came from.
I mean, yeah, they should have. A lot of people probably died.
That's probably
making
more of the Industrial Revolution. But
yes,
still.
But like that is insane. So like we think like the Las Vegas Sphere is cool. That is way crazier.
Yeah, it's wild. I would love if there was like restaurants and like beer stops.
I know
it.
You said that last time. There's
it's
not.
So fun.
Okay. All right.
You can review it on Google.
You can review the Great Wall.
The Great Wall's got a 4.3.
16,000 reviews. 4.3. That's pretty good. Our
not
podcast.
Bad
yeah.
For a, like a landmark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Very cool.
We should do like what landmarks have the highest Google ratings.
That'd be so fun. Let's do one more.
All right.
Let's
what do you
like Statue of Liberty.
Okay. Statue of Liberty.
It's got to be higher than a 4.3.
Unless there's just Statue of Liberty is 305 feet tall. Let's look at the
4.7.
96,000.
Let's go.
Yeah.
F you, Great Wall.
Yeah, you a little bitch, Great Wall. All right, okay. So the 2024 real estate market. In general, Lucas, I'm going to lace the foundation and let you build a wall of advice on top of it.
See what you did there? Didn't quite work out. How
you didn't. I thought I was gonna. Sometimes I start a thought and I end it and I'm like, damn, that was good. And then sometimes I do and I'm like,
yeah, same here.
Kind of miss the mark there.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes it turns out better than you.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa. Well, let me, I should write that down.
Makes sense.
And then I make it a tweet and it gets, you know, 8 hearts.
Mm.
Okay. So I'm going to lay the foundation. So my opinion, and I don't know that it's really opinion. Our opinion will of the prediction will be an opinion, but I don't think this is, Lucas. It is supply and demand are the biggest driver in pretty much any economic or financial like variable. See, that was good. So when you're talking like the real estate market, supply and demand is the biggest driver of prices. If you're talking, you know, anything from like groceries to cars to shoes to real estate, it all is driven by supply and demand. Now, there are other factors that affect it, and that has definitely happened in the real estate market. There is inflation, there is, you know, policies, there is interest rates. So there are other things that affect the real estate market walls. However, I think it has been proven recently that supply and demand is by far the biggest thing that affects the real estate market, because for the first time, I think ever, rates have skyrocketed like crazy and house prices haven't like fallen off of a map. In St. Louis, they've actually gone up year over year in pretty much every month. So anyways, in general, it's supposed to be inflation up, interest rates up, house prices down. Interest rates up or interest rates down, house prices up. And that's not really what's happened recently. So anyways, just I want to lay the foundation of there's a lot of other things we're going to talk about and we're going to make our predictions, I promise. But supply and demand is the biggest factor that affects the market. I think that's been bared out. Agree, disagree, move on.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you would think demand is the only thing that is affected by interest rates, right? You get low interest rates, you get super good buying power. People are out there buying houses like crazy because you can get cheap money when people were locking in like 2% interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people wanted to go buy a house when you can lock in 2% interest rates because you can get a much nicer house than you could have previously gotten, which is fun, right? Going to buy a bigger house. Like, mm-hmm. That's awesome. Good for you. And but I think people did not realize how it was going to affect demand with the interest rates being high, because you have to think of where those people who are selling those houses are. I'm sorry, supply. Did I say supply?
You said demand.
Sorry, affect supply.
Because mm-hmm.
you have to think how we get supply in our market is either new construction or existing houses that people move out of,
mm-hmm.
right? And no one is moving out of houses right now. So we're kind of in this stalemate where, yeah, demand's not super high because we have limited buying power at 8% right now, 30-year fix, but supply is not high at all either. So it's like low supply fighting with low demand right now.
And it's not a lot of the time, it's not a choice to move. People still have to move.
Yeah.
Even in 08, 9, 10, 11,
yes.
People still have to move. People still build houses. So there's a baked-in amount of demand in the housing market no matter what
for
everything
sure.
else does. And I think you made a good point that I didn't think of, at least at first, when interest rates were low and then interest rates started to skyrocket, was I thought of, all right, people aren't going to be able to afford as much house, so they're just going to sit on their house. I didn't factor in the fact that people aren't going to list their house because they don't want to replace a 2% interest rate with a 7% interest rate. That didn't cross my mind at first, that higher interest rates would crush people wanting to move their house, mm-hmm. therefore crush supply. I didn't think that through.
Yeah, so supply really has to come from new construction right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been behind the new construction curve for so long since coming out of the Great Recession. Builders got crushed. Like, great builders went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the majority of them,
mm-hmm.
At least around here and probably in other parts of the country as well. So people have still been gun shy. Builders have been gun shy coming out of the Great Recession. So our building numbers have not been where they needed to be to keep up with population growth. And that's what we've seen recently. And that's finally coming to head. But I also think builders in a very good spot right now because they have what everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that new construction house that people have to move in, right? Where was I going with that? New construction house, people have to move in, and you don't have to freaking fight with other people competition-wise a lot of the times because there's multiple inventory in a subdivision.
Yeah, I thought for sure you weren't going to get that. I thought you lost it and it was gone, but you got it back.
Not great. B plus.
B. It was fine. So, no, I agree with all of that. And the other thing, Lucas, is I know technology is getting better, but you can't just, like, build a house right away. It takes and with labor costs going up and harder to get labor right now, everybody's complaining they can't get good help. With material costs going up, with the supply chain and logistical nightmare after COVID and everything, like it was like that even dampened it even more, I guess, is the point. So they're not able to efficiently just throw houses up. So
yeah, that'll change the game if that ever happens. When that happens, I guess.
When that happens eventually. So in general, we're going to dig into a few stats, and we have some charts up here that I'm going to try to articulate to the audience. But supply-demand is the biggest factor. Interest rates, government stimulus, inflation, all of that stuff does play a part in the market. But in general, supply and demand are the biggest drivers. So until and that's a little bit of a spoiler alert, not really. I'm going to give a little bit more detail of a prediction here in a minute. But in general, until supply fixes itself, I don't see house prices drastically and substantially over time dipping at all. So I think supply being so low, and until interest rates go down, I guess some people will trade a 2% for a 5%, maybe. I don't know. So then they'll start to move and groove a little bit. But supply being as low as it is, I think is going to keep the market, you know, moderately strong to super strong for the foreseeable future. And then as soon as they do dip interest rates, though, that means house prices go up even more. So it makes it harder for people to afford. So that will cut down, you know, that will, I guess, curtail some of the demand a little bit, maybe even so.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing here is I think rates going down is going to be good for everyone, because be good for the consumer, be good for real estate people, like be good for everyone, be good for lenders. I'm interested to see when rates come down, if rates come down, who knows, right? But what that does to the housing market. And I don't know. I don't think it's going to skyrocket prices as high as some people think in my eyes, just because of that people that have been wanting to move but haven't because of 8% interest rates. I think there'll be a surplus of inventory that come to the market because those people will be like a wave come to the market.
That could be. No, then that
I don't think it's going to drop either.
Well, it depends also, I guess, where rates go.
I think it'll be much more balanced and how quickly they get there too.
And how quickly and where they go. Like if we're talking, like my thoughts are, and this doesn't have anything to do with it does have to do with the market, but this isn't a market prediction. My thoughts are the next couple years as rates dip and kind of teeter a little bit, we're going to be playing in that, I don't know, 5.5 to 6.5 range. We're not going to be down to that 4 range again. So they're still not going to be able to replace a 2 with a 3 or a 3 with a 4.
Right.
In my opinion, it's never going to go that low. The Fed's funds rate, the Treasury bond, none of that's going to, whether you're talking the commercial loans or residential loans, that was just a black swan crazy event of COVID and what happened after that, inflation and going to zero Fed's funds rate. That's never happened before. It did a little bit after 08, but then it was already back up. And then it was went back down after COVID. So I think that you know, 0% Fed's funds rate's not happening, and therefore however that affects the treasury bond and the 30-year mortgage, we're not going to go to that low. Because another thing, Lucas, that while we're on interest rates, is there is a bigger spread right now in interest rates versus origination versus what is offered than I think in the history. Like usually there's a spread between like the treasury, this is talking 30-year mortgages. I feel like I'm jumping around a lot, but let's just talk residential mortgages, 30-year mortgages that everybody thinks of when they think of mortgages. Usually I'm throwing something out there, but it's close. There's like a spread of like 1 to 1.5% versus like what, how would you describe that? What like the market bears versus what they give out to people?
Yep.
Now the spread's like 3% because it's so volatile. Whoever's originating these loans and making that spread is making a lot more money right now. They're making double the money. So just for simple math, instead of like they're getting it at 6%, they're lending it at 9%. When, you know, usually they get it 6%, they lend it 7.5%. So it's much a bigger spread, which makes it harder for the end consumer. So eventually, maybe when there's some comfort, that'll come down a little bit.
Yeah.
They won't have to drop rates, right?
Exactly.
So if they drop rates a little bit, that comes down. That's where we could get back in the 5s.
They don't have to drop rates at all for the 30-year mortgage to come down.
No,
that's
don't.
The crazy part. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you said, they just got to get comfortable these financial institutions of where the market is heading so they can kind of get ahead of it, so they're not creating new loans that they're going to be losing money on in the near future.
And I feel like institutions and people, it's natural, are greedy. So they're able to get this. Are they ever going to go back to that original spread, or is it always going to be a little bit higher because they're able to get it?
Yeah, good point. I mean, I think it has crushed the mortgage industry market, because though prices have went up on houses, the transactions have went down. And to me, that's where a lot of these loan offers are getting paid from, is those volume of deals. And that is not there.
No, I think we are at 08 level of applications for loans.
Yeah, like into 08 level.
Yeah, which is what we need. I mean, we need all this. Powell just spoke yesterday, and I think everything's getting crushed a little bit because he said the market's still too strong to slow inflation down.
Yeah.
So the rates aren't dropping anytime soon.
Fuck.
I know.
I know. I think it would be good for everybody. Like I said, I think it would create a much more balanced market and create some inventory, obviously create some more demand, but I think it would just be good for everybody, but we'll see.
Well, rates have, like, something has to break for rates to drop is the thing. So we have to go through
that's how they always have dropped.
So we have something bad has to happen for rates to drop.
When did the last time rates have plummeted?
After COVID. And then after 08.
And after 08.
So it has to be something bad. So they're not just going to drop.
Yep.
So there's that. And then the last thing on inflation, then we'll get to some charts here. But so inflation's a huge driver of this. It affects the market. It affects people spending what they can and can't afford. And the number one, here's a quiz for you. What is the number one driver of inflation? Which is an open-ended question, so you might not. Labor costs. It's not cost of material. It's labor costs.
Okay.
And the reason people think inflation is going to slow down, or some people, I think, and this is from my boy Tay-Tay Sanz, it's because of efficiencies in, like, labor. So then their labor costs will go down. Therefore, inflation will go down. So that's, like, with AI and all this technology, bringing labor costs down and getting efficient with things and either replacing jobs or helping people be more efficient with their jobs will bring labor costs down, which will bring inflation down. However, everybody's striking, so labor costs are going up as far as, you know, getting involved, right, with UPS, the UAW, and then there's a lot of other strikes going on right now as well. So anyways, that's just a side note.
So inflation is not going to go down anytime soon, is what
correct
you're saying.
And as well as I think Biden just asked for a ton more money. We talked about that during an election year. The presidents get elected when the economy is good.
Yeah,
so they're gonna want the economy
pumping it,
and then that just makes inflation higher.
Yeah, long term.
Anyways, all right. So, in general, Lucas, I think an interesting one I wanted to talk about was house prices, what they've done the last two quarters. Have you seen that chart, that middle one? Or I guess you got it too.
Yeah.
So, that's the biggest drop ever. So, there was like a $70,000 drop in the average house price in the United States. I don't have the exact numbers. I see the chart. But I believe in middle of 2022, the average house price in the United States, or the median, I guess there's a difference, but the median was like $481,000, and now it's like $417,000, like three quarters later. So that's the biggest drop ever over a year, $70,000. But it's a percentage, it's not the biggest, but a dollar amount it is. So I guess my point is they wanted to slow down the economy, or they want to slow down the real estate market. They want to slow down house prices getting out of control. They did. We're back to very, very normal if you draw like a line. I don't think that many people felt the worst housing price dip ever in the history of the United States happened the past 6 months. I don't think that many people felt that. Do you?
Well, yeah. So like real estate is so localized.
Awesome.
Right? Real estate is awesome, but extremely localized. And for example, here in St. Louis, the year 2023, I think we're averaging 6 to 7% house appreciation.
Growth.
Yeah, growth. But a lot of that comes into play with how our market reacted during COVID as well, where we had about 10% year-over-year
growth.
Not
that 25% like a lot.
Still ridiculous growth. But yeah, like what this chart is kind of showing is and heavily affected by is those higher price point markets, typically on the coasts, I would say, right? Like your Seattle's, if you go down the West Coast, your Seattle's,
San Francisco's,
your
LA's,
San Francisco's, LA's, San Diego, and probably the one that's not on the coast,
Phoenix.
I
consider that the West Coast. It's not an ocean.
There is no ocean in Phoenix. That's very dry.
That's a who
very
sings that
brown
song?
Lots of dirt, sand.
If you believe that, I'll sell you oceanfront property in Arizona and throw the Golden Gate in free. Who is that? That's
T.I. says something similar about that, but I don't think that's who you were talking about.
I was not talking about
T.I. He's like, I got a bridge in Brooklyn, I'll sell you, or something like that. Okay. Anyway. And then go over to the East Coast. You got, obviously, you know, New York, D.C.,
Boston. Miami is a little bit.
Miami. Mm-hmm. So all these high price point markets, all those markets where St. Louis in the middle of the country is seeing 10% year over year through 2021, 22, those markets are seeing like freaking 30% year over year.
Yeah.
So they needed a bigger adjustment than what St. Louis needed. And there's a lot of people over there, number one, a lot of houses. And all of those houses are at a much higher price point than this average median right here, where those average median price point in those markets are probably $800,000. So when those drop, the entire country feels that. And I think that's where the majority of this comes from.
I agree. So there's two-prong approach to, I think, that this little part of the chart walls. Number one, you hit on it. Higher price point houses in the coast have dipped way more substantially than probably, 80% of the other houses, so that they've affected it that. And the other part about it, Lucas, is, in my opinion, and this is horrible for the audience, but in general, like, as house prices were kind of remaining flat and, like, bumping up and down a little bit, there was a lot of volume. I think the fact that supply was so low, there was very little volume in this race, so it's very easy for it to come back down. Does that make sense?
A lot of volume.
Not a lot of volume.
Not a lot of volume.
So from like, so all right, so perfect example. So from 2015 to 2020, there was 100,000 houses sold. So a lot of little charts on the dot line. From 2020 to 2022, that huge
more
raise
data
up.
Points.
Yeah, more data points. So there was 2,000 instead of 100,000. Yeah. So they can only go off the data points that are there. So there's just, it's much easier to get that to come down quickly because there weren't that many houses sold at that high price point. Did I articulate that?
You
or
did
not?
Did super well.
Yes. B.
Yeah, and kind of looking at the median sale of house throughout the past, what is this, 20 years or so, it's crazy to see how flat and almost a little negative 18 to 20 was.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's wild to me. So I think I think, like you said, once we're done with whatever this crap is, because we're in a weird market.
Yes.
Don't get it twisted. It
don't
is not
twist that shit.
Super balanced. It is funky right now. But
Comodina.
When we get on the other side of this, whether it's a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and you draw a line, like Sam was saying, from late 2017 to 2026 or 7
or 8,
it's
going to be very normalized.
It's going to be very similar of an increase. Nice and steady, but man, we just got there in a wild way. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah, baseball and real estate and life are all about regressing to the mean.
Very similar.
The standard derivatives. Yeah. So I think in general, I think house prices are about where they should be right now. Honestly, I really do. I think it's a pretty. We're not overpriced right now, in my opinion. So
especially if rates come down.
Yes.
Like if you take rates out of it and kind of just look at. I don't know. Just we look at how so many houses so often and like just understand like other parts of the country and know in like good parts of St. Louis, like you can buy a house that looks like that for $300,000 or whatever in a great neighborhood with great schools. Like you can't find that anywhere, many places in this country. Rates is affecting that a little bit, right? That price seems a lot higher for people now than it used to. So, if rates get adjusted, that buying power just comes back and I think is better for everyone.
I agree. Last thing I want to note, then we'll give our predictions. I'll go first. The other thing I noticed is very interesting, Lucas, look at that middle chart on the back is 08. Doesn't look that bad.
Yeah, from a macro perspective, when you zoom back out, the economy, that's why. That's so wild.
I know. Mean, so I did the math a little bit, Lucas. So I'm close. It's not exact,
percentage-wise, though, it's pretty substantial, my friend.
Not really. So yeah, it's not.
It's like 260 to
220.
200.
No, it's not. It doesn't go down to 200.
It does.
It's not 200. It's like
220 would be in the middle of it.
It's like 215. Or it's like 210. It's like probably 2... It's probably like 255 to 210.
So, okay, so that's 45,000.
I don't even think it's that bad, actually.
So that's like a it's almost like a 20% drop.
Yeah, we had a 20. We just had a 20% drop.
Right.
And nobody's freaking out.
Because well, there's about a lot volume. Of people freaking out.
Well, yeah, not like, trying to not freak like out 08. Get, not like 08. Get, the whole world was people dying to click. 08. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look at that freaking recession.
Yeah. That's no that because there was other factors. But yeah.
Just the way that it happened. Yes. Yeah. It was so much different than
took today. Everybody by surprise, yeah. I think, is part of it. All right. So my predictions for the 2024 real estate market, and I'm not even going to do it. Obviously, depends on inflation and wars and all this stuff. But not knowing exactly what's going to happen and factoring in some craziness, I think that in general, the majority of the country will see a 5 to 7% increase in house prices. I think interest rates will level off, one more raise, stay flat towards the end of next year. Things will start to kind of get a little funky and they'll start to dip them next year. So I think it's going to be a solid to strong real estate market next year. I think some markets will be affected, but in general, I think it's going to be a pretty normal. I think it's going to be less of this craziness that you talked about, Lucas, the up and down. I think it's going to be a little more stable of a market in 2024.
Yeah, 2023. Oh gosh, it's been a while now. 2022 was probably the craziest market because we started at 3% rates
and ended
like
the
year
seven.
Like 6.5, yeah. 7. And then for 2023, we started at 6.5-ish, let's say, right? And went to 8.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely rose this year. But as far as a percentage-wise, last year was way crazier. So yeah. I think we're already starting to see some of that stabilization. And just I think that just gives people confidence and that shit's not going to hit the fan and be wild and just have some stability in the market. And then maybe we can kind of start peaking and coming down and create a more balanced market going into to next year throughout the year. I think that'd be super cool. But I don't see like prices coming down for sure. And I don't see transactions really getting back to what they used to unless we see rates maybe down in the low sixes, I would say.
That would be nuts to go to low sixes. That'd be crazy drops.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think maybe in general, we think the markets would be pretty strong.
As far as price appreciation. Yes. Yes.
I think that, I mean, that's the main factor of it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, Walls. Let's do some sports talk.
All right.
Hard pivot left. NBA starting. Your boy's going into his 21st year, I believe.
Your boy, but yes.
Yes. I mean, you like LeBron.
Yeah.
He's LeBron fan.
I mean, but he's your
Yeah,
guy.
He's my dude.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is crazy. He's going to be like, in his 21st year, he's going to average like 25 points or something insane. So yeah, what is your predictions? We're going to talk, we're going to do some guesses on some stats for some players, but what are your thoughts on the general NBA season and like where things are going to...
I like it. I like the buzz. I think they're doing like the preseason games have been like the stars have been playing and it's been like battles. You could almost say the season kind of already kicked off. So that Warriors LA game the other night was super good. And then what was it? Suns and the Lakers last night was good as well. So with KD and going against LeBron for the first time in 5 years they've played each other.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
I guess Warriors days and
yes,
people
2018
being hurt.
Is the first time they've played each other.
No.
I think so, man.
Okay.
Something crazy. Okay. So that was fun to see those two kind of go at it because they got a little history for sure. But man, I'm looking forward to it. I think a lot of change-ups, right? I'm interested to see what in the East what the Bucks look like with Dame time. That'll be fun. They're going to be good, man.
Yeah.
They got the best player in the league, probably.
They got Giannis, and then
they got Dame now.
And they got rid of Drew Holiday, which I think is incredible pickup for the Celtics.
Huge.
But Dame's, Dame's better than Drew. So.
That's true.
Drew Holiday's really good, but he's not Dame.
Drew, man, just like his hard nose effort, it just fits in Boston, just, I feel
like. Yeah, keeps his mouth shut and gets the job done.
So Boston got better. They picked up Porzingis and Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
going to cap Tatum and Brown.
Tep Tatum, Brown, and Horford, and they're going to be good.
Yeah,
Boston's going to be good.
But so is the Bucks.
Yeah, probably Boston's my pick to come out of the East.
Okay.
But, you know, can't forget about the Heat. They're going to be there, but they just didn't do much.
They tried, they swung and missed a little bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, they
Cavs will be a little bit better. They got some good young teams in the East. So you're picking
Celtics.
Boston.
Yeah,
come what out about of, the West?
West is a little more interesting.
Delonte.
We got the Suns that picked up Bradley Beal. So they got Beal,
he can shoot
Booker,
a little bit.
And Katie, like, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's real good.
And they got rid of Ayton and beefed up their bench a little bit, I believe,
so
too.
They'll be better. The Lakers will be better,
mm-hmm.
picking up, Wood, right? Mm-hmm. Christian Wood? Mm-hmm. What's his name? Yeah.
I think that's it, yeah.
Or Wofford Wood? Yeah, whatever. But he's like 6'8", can shoot it. Who else did they pick up? They had another nice couple pickups.
They've got a couple nice pickups. Yeah. Who did they get? I can look it up.
Austin Reeves got better.
He's
been playing all summer with Team USA. KD's healthy. LeBron's LeBron.
Yeah, he's getting older, but yeah.
I think D-Lo could kind of be a bigger impact. So Lakers got
Christian Wood, you're right. Christian Wood. That was a good
stud. He's like 6'9", averages 18.
And then, that's another one I really like. They got Vincent.
Gabe Vincent.
He can shoot. He plays hard. That's a better point guard they've had in a while. And then Russell's a knucklehead. He'll be all right. But yeah, no, they got a. And then Rui's back. He's like, I think he
getting
could
better.
Potentially Game like have a really better. Good year to take yeah. off. So, yeah, they got a.
They're getting better.
They got a little squad. Yeah.
Nuggets are Nuggets. I don't know if they had any like huge moves, but honestly, they didn't need many.
Mm-mm, they just won. Yep.
And then, The Warriors got better, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not like they were great last year. Same with the Lakers. They just weren't great.
Yes.
They were good. But, they picked up OCP, right?
Mm-hmm.
They pick up a big? I forget. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how Chris Paul and them all play together. So,
we'll see. So, who you taking?
I got Nuggets coming out of the West.
Okay.
They're just so freaking good, man. They play so well together.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't shock me to see one of these high-powered, high-talented teams like the Suns, Warriors, or Lakers knock them off as well.
Yeah, I think there is something to like that little like Super Bowl hangover is what they call it.
Yeah.
I mean, you just they're human.
For sure.
By the end of the year, that may have be gone, right?
I think it's less in NBA.
And because there's so many freaking games, they don't matter. They could be hungover for the first month and a half and still get a sixth seed and still win it. So,
yeah, for sure.
Not that they're going to do that. I'm just saying that in NFL – You get hung over for a month, you're done because there's only 16 games, right? So that's why I think it's a big difference.
And Joker's so good, right? But just like his like nonchalantness, like you just never know. He might just stay in Serbia.
Seriously.
And obviously that would they would not be the favorite.
Yeah, he doesn't like it here. I don't think very much. He like went home between like playoff rounds.
Yeah,
like,
it's so weird. Man. Yeah,
stay with your team. Just hang out for a little bit.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about that shit.
No,
it worked somehow. Yeah. It worked last year. Not saying it's gonna work forever though.
I'm going. You're going Lakers.
No,
Nuggets. Celtics. I'm going. We're going Bucks.
Like it.
Lakers.
Nice. Well, sounds like a hometown team, but yeah.
I don't live in LA.
You just look at the rosters. You can't be serious about that pick, right?
What are you talking about?
I mean, they're probably like the fifth best roster in the West.
So? That doesn't matter.
Okay, so what do you pick?
You think Miami had the best roster in the East last year?
No, you're right. Yeah.
I didn't say they're going to be number one seed.
Yeah. You're just saying
they're
coming out.
I think they're going to be 3 seed. You don't think 3 seed can make it?
They ain't going to be a 3 seed.
All right. We'll see. Bet you
4, 5, 6.
Bet you a rental house.
All right. We'll cut it in half.
There you go. All right. Okay. True, false. Get me.
All right. True, false. New segment where Lucas asks Sam a few true false questions. Statement number one, bananas grow on trees.
I think that's true.
That is false.
What do they grow on?
Bananas grow on large herbaceous plants, not trees.
The fuck? So a tree's not a large herbaceous plant?
You can't yell at T. York like that. Like
Tyler's just making shit up over here.
So false. Wrong. Perfect. See, this seems right.
Well, how would you define a plant as? A tree, not a large herbaceous.
Some sort of trunk with bark. That's probably how I would define a tree. Was that right?
Well, we didn't know. Shit, we moved on too long. We'll go back to the Guess the NBA Player mini segment, but let's finish the true false.
All right. Statement number two. Lightning never strikes the same place twice.
False.
That is false. Lightning can strike the same place multiple times.
Well, yeah, you think of like
You explain to us, Sam. Tell us about lightning.
Listen, I think lightning has struck the Eiffel Tower several times, and it's the same place. And people do like those grounding things on their like roof, where they'll like put like a big metal pole up. Lightning just is trying to get to the ground. It's all it's trying to do. It's like just that's its whole goal is get to the ground.
All right. Statement number three: goldfish have a 3-second memory.
It's probably like 3.5 seconds or knowing Tyler's little shit ass. I'm going to say false.
Ooh, false. You're right. 2 out of 3.
Ooh, ooh.
Goldfish.
And the first one, I'm going to throw the flag on the first one. I don't think that's...
You were wrong. Goldfish have a longer memory span than commonly believed, lasting several months.
Nice. So that Dory thing's full of shit? I guess she's not a goldfish.
She has a disorder, Sam. Oh, that's not just all.
I guess all the fish can remember, just fish. Not her. Yeah. She has a mental issue.
Yeah.
She's like some chemical imbalance going
right.
on.
Right. Yeah, sweetheart.
But yeah, she's a nice lady.
Yeah, so we talked about polar bears being like one hand dominant. You're like, mm-hmm. How do they know that? How do they freaking know goldfish memory?
Yeah, do they play like the memory game with them or something?
Guess who?
They probably put something somewhere and then they go back and find it. I don't know. All right.
Months later?
Apparently.
What are they doing to these goldfish?
I don't even want to know. All right, so guess the NBA player mini segment. Quick pivot back to where we were. Get it? Pivot.
Ooh, NBA. Nice. Three-point stance.
Yep. Triple threat. Three-point stance is football.
That's right.
I did that before. Triple threat is basketball.
There you
pass,
go.
Shoot, or dribble.
Yep. You do all three.
All right. So guess the player. So what are we doing? Games played? What? Guess what player? Guess. What am I guessing?
Most games played.
Most games. So, yeah, there you go. Most games played. All right.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Or what was his like name before he changed it? The Wall Cinder? Was that it?
No. Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was... gosh, I should know that. What was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's name before name change?
Cassius Clay.
No.
Yeah, it's him or LeBron's probably going to break it, right?
Absolutely possible.
Yeah, let's go with Kareem. Robert Parrish. Duh, Lucas.
Oh, my gosh. 16-11. I got to figure out Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's name. I should know this.
LeBron's got to be coming up on that. All right. Okay, number two, guess the player with the most steals. I think I know this one. It's got to be Stockton, right?
Yeah, it's John Stockton.
John Stockton, we know that one.
100%.
Yep, awesome. All right, the most three-pointers made. Is it Steph's got it?
Steph's got it.
Yeah, Steph's got it.
A lot now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool, we're 2 out of 3. That's pretty good.
That
we weren't
going
to get Robert Parrish. Nobody would have got that.
Robert Parrish, that really supplies me.
Supplies you? Yeah. All right.
Kareem was born Ferdinand Lewis Alcindor Jr.
So that's who you were thinking, right? That's who you're saying. You just said it wrong. Lou Alcindor or whatever.
Yeah, I think it was like, you know. Yeah.
Keep going. This is great.
I forget what it, the people called him something.
So anyway. He's got games played. So Parrish is 1. Kareem is 2. Vince Carter's 3. Dirk's 4. That's kind of surprising. I know Dirk's been around for a while, but it's kind of surprising. Man, he played a minute then. If Dirk's 4 ever.
That's impressive. Is this professional games? Does that include over in
Oh no, LeBron's number 1 by far if it includes Olympics and all that.
No, not Olympics, just like, you know how like Luca played professional basketball like,
oh yeah, this
3
is probably
years
just NBA. This
came.
Is probably just NBA, yeah. Okay. And then John Stockton, Carl, that doesn't
Vince
surprise
Carter.
Me. Kevin Willis, okay. And Jason Terry. JT number 10, Jason Terry.
Oh, he's been around forever. The Jet, right? No, that's not the Jet.
No, that's not
right.
The Jet.
I think it is. Yeah. Not Kenny the Jet, but I think JT was the Jet too.
So LeBron's 9th games played, 1st in points, 4th in assists. That's pretty freaking good.
That's real good. I think he's up there in rebounds too.
Scroll down a little bit.
Like 8th or something.
9th in rebounds. Goodness gracious. Or no, that's not. It was 9th in something else.
Okay.
He's not in rebounds, but he's not a center. So those are all centers that are in there. Okay, cool. Awesome. So yeah, that's what we're going to wrap it up with today. That was a good one. How far are we into this, T-Jork?
38
minutes. Okay.
Boom. Perfect.
Boom. Pretty solid.
That
all
was
right.
Fun.
Yeah, so quickly, story time, 2 things. 1, win. We could do win. We had 18 signups for our community yesterday. We think about that record day.
18 new members.
Of our community,
that
yep.
will be joining us in our community and on the Facebook group and part of our, how many weekly calls do we have now?
7, but we're going to up that here soon.
Seven weekly calls. So at least 1 a day, and you can join.
However many you want. So, a little sales pitch for that, not really. But, yeah, 18, that's so 18 people open up their checkbooks or credit cards to be a part of our community and help us help them grow rentals. I've been super bullish on that because for the presentation, the webinar I did the other night, Lucas, we were like, we're screenshotting like people's like wins, and it was insane. We'd scroll screenshot, first rental, second yeah. rental, just refinance. Like literally every like third scroll, I was able to fill up a whole like PowerPoint slide with like the past 3 weeks of wins. So it's pretty cool to see the power of that group now that it's been around almost 2 years and just seeing people winning in there. So it's pretty cool. So that's the first one. And then Buyers Club was a banger last night, bro.
It was good. Had a lot of students in from all over the country.
Yep.
And then also had our local community here, which showed up big time for Nick Thiel. So probably, I don't know, 220 people, give or take.
I bet it was the third biggest crowd of the year. Yeah. I bet, like, me, when we talked, when Brian Toke were 1 and 1A or whatever, yeah. I bet it was the second biggest one besides that.
It was awesome,
that.
Too. I really enjoyed it. Nick's just being real up there, being himself, and got to learn about his family a little bit. It was a lot of fun. Pizza, networking, slinging deals, having drinks, having a good time. It was great.
Yep, you were on your game last night. Lucas was being a goofball, and I was making fun of him, and he called me. I said, "Stop making fun of me."
Yeah, I stand by those words.
Why do you make fun? You used to do that sometimes. Like, why are you making fun of me right now? All right, hope you enjoyed this one.
Wait, does it make you feel good, Sam?
It does, actually. Yeah. So crumble up the sheet of paper. We're going to throw it away in the trash can. As we're doing this, please follow us. Rate this. Like, the only way we can grow this is if you share this with a friend and give us a rating and review, so the podcast pushes us, the podcast gods push us a little bit more. Like, I don't even I don't know if there's a point in me shooting
there's
this.
Not you're getting way behind.
Well, that's not this, these don't count for that. Your shot's like literally 80% easier than my shot. These don't count towards anything.
It worked up. Oh my god,
what are you talking about? That was close.
That was so bad.
See you the next one.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.